want to share about somebody that I don't think we hear about too often. This person, I would say, is a missionary. He was sent by Paul with a specific purpose. Paul, I think, was in prison in Rome, likely at this time, and he was sent the church in Colossae, and also to go via the church in Ephesus. So he has this purpose that's mentioned in the passage, which we'll read in just a moment. But I just want to say the word missionary comes from Latin, and it really just means one who is sent. One who is sent, and sent for a specific purpose, to accomplish something. And Tychicus was sent out by Paul, and of course he was sent out by God as well. Paul wrote these letters of Ephesians and Colossians, again from Rome. Tychicus is mentioned in both of the letters, and the reason being that he was the letter carrier. He was the one who took the letters from Paul and delivered them to these two different churches. So he's mentioned in them, and one of the sentences about him is exactly the same, word for word, in both of the letters, but Colossians actually has a little bit more detail, and so we're going to look at Colossians 4, 7 to 9, and let me just read that for you. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. And I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that has taken place here. There's a sentence, one particular sentence in there that just has these three words that Paul uses to describe Tychicus. And I was just wanted to ask each one of us, if we were to sort of reflect on that sentence and we were to put our name in there and then maybe fill in the blanks with things that we would hope someone would describe about us, maybe what Pastor Samuel would say to us, or maybe a good Christian friend, how would they describe us? What would be the words that you would want in that sentence to describe you? Let's think on that for just a moment. Just thinking in my own example, maybe it would be, Gil is a truth speaker. And he is someone who loves the Lord. And he is a world-class mountain biker in the Lord. I kind of want that last thing, but it really doesn't fit very well. And I'm not that good either. I'm a little reckless, as Glenn might say. But what would you put there? Do some things come to mind? Some things that you would hope for that would describe you as a Christian, describe you as a person in the Lord. Yeah. I actually really love the things that Paul used to describe Tychicus, this missionary, this brother that he sends for these very specific purposes in delivering these letters to Ephesus and Colossae. And actually, as I read the passage and as I was reflecting on my time here, I thought, you know, Tychicus kind of reminds me of somebody here. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Glenn, who gave me that wonderful introduction, because Glenn was reflected in those things quite well. And having traveled with him and spent time with him in some interesting locations, I've seen that very clearly in who Glenn is. He definitely has a heart for the world. And he is a beloved brother. He's a beloved brother to me. He's a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. He reminds me of Tychicus. One of the things I also like about Tychicus is, you know, as he's described as this one who is sent, as Paul's sending him to do these things, he's actually not, maybe the words that are used aren't the things that we would typically think of that a missionary does. I think the thing that often comes to our mind when we think of missionary is That missionary should be an evangelist, and that missionary should be a preacher, someone who stands up in front and shares the gospel and preaches the word. And while I think that's very much a part of missions and ministry, it's an important part, and I don't want to downplay it at all, that's not exactly how Tychicus is described in this passage of him as a missionary. And I think there's something a bit freeing in that. We can take whatever the skills that God has given us, whatever the abilities that God has given us, and we can go out into our communities, we can go out into the world and use those things for God's glory and to serve the people and to love them. And God will bear fruit through that, whether it's going as a medical doctor or whether it's going as an English teacher or whatever it is that God is sending you, however he's gifted you to go, he's going to use you. He's going to use Tychicus. He did use Tychicus in significant ways as an encourager, as someone who brought news of what was going on with Paul, as someone who came to encourage hearts. And these are things that anyone can do. Anybody who follows Jesus can bring these same kinds of things to be a faithful minister and a fellow servant. So let's look at some of the other things that are these, particularly these three things that Paul described Tychicus with, these descriptors. The first one is beloved brother. Beloved brother. Beloved is a really powerful word. You know, it's one like I actually thought as I was preparing for today that I thought I might ask you to turn to the person next to you and say, you are my beloved sister, or you are my beloved brother. And then I thought, you know, that actually might be a little bit stressful. It might, because it's an intimate word, isn't it? I mean, we don't often say that very much, I think, in our culture, in our day. It's a little bit intimidating to turn and to say that to somebody, particularly if we don't know them well. We use it often maybe for our spouse, or maybe more likely for this is my beloved wife, Karen. Or we might use it for our kids. This is my beloved daughter. But to say that to somebody sitting next to us in church that we don't know so well, it's a little bit harder to do. But I feel like we're missing out on something, because Paul actually used it all the time. He used it a lot. Not only Paul, James and John and Peter used it in their writings too. Paul described Timothy as his beloved son. He used beloved with Epaphras and Philemon and Luke and Gaius, or maybe that was John that used it with Gaius. And Peter uses it to describe Paul. He says, Paul, our beloved brother, said these things. Beloved, it's an important word. It's a meaningful word. It's just unfortunate that it's hard for us to say, and that we don't say it maybe as much as we could. I don't want to say should, I say could. My wife always tells me, don't say should, so I try not to. But we could use it more, and I think we would bless one another if we used it a little bit more. Our culture sometimes seems to keep us from that. I think things in our culture today, technology, keeps us from that. The more time we spend on our phones, it seems like the more isolated we become and the less likely we are to connect with people on a deep level. But God's word is clear that he wants us to be connected. He wants us, I think, to be comfortable to say to you, to another person, you're my beloved sister. I am so thankful. I love you, and I see these wonderful qualities in you. How powerful it could be if we were to do that more. Yeah. And so I want to just invite us this morning to think of three people in our circles, three people in our lives with whom we might actually do this, to kind of step out in faith, step out with some courage, and say to that person, you're my beloved sister, and I see in you that you are a faithful follower. You love God's word. You, whatever it is that you see in that person, to actually do that. And maybe just sometime this week, choose three people and take that little step of faith to encourage them in that way. Our words are powerful, and we are meant to bring encouragement. We are meant to bring encouragement to one another. So I hope that you'll do that. You know, God's word actually says that there are two things, just two things that we're supposed to do daily. One of them is to take up our cross. We're supposed to take up our cross daily, which is not an easy thing. But the other one's a little bit easier. In the book of Hebrews, it says that we should encourage one another daily. Encourage one another daily so that we don't have a hard heart, or that our hearts are not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And so when we encourage one another, when we take that step to do that, not only does it soften our hearts, and it also softens the heart of the person who is encouraged. So encouragement is a really powerful tool to encourage and to build up one another. So find someone this week and tell them how much they mean to you, and just tell them they're your beloved brother or sister. Well, the second term, the second descriptor that Paul uses of Tychicus is faithful minister. Faithful minister. And I think Tychicus was a faithful minister of the gospel. He was a faithful minister in God's kingdom, a faithful minister on behalf of Jesus. And when I think of that, I think of, and actually the word here for minister is actually the word that's used for servant. There's an attitude of service that comes with this idea of faithful in ministry. Whatever gifting God has given us, whatever strengths that he has put into us, whatever opportunities he's put before us, we can approach them with faithfulness and with a servant's heart. This could include, you know, opportunities to share the gospel, and that certainly includes opportunities to demonstrate the gospel by our love and by our deeds. Tychicus was no doubt that kind of a servant. He was a messenger with the express purpose to go and encourage the hearts of those he would bring these letters to. And he was expressly given the servant role to share the news, to give the news about Paul and the ministry. And he was a messenger. He was a letter carrier. He carried these letters from Paul to these churches. And then there's one more thing that I think is really significant about his faithful ministry. He went with another person that's mentioned in that passage. He went with Onesimus. Onesimus, you may know, was a slave. He had been a slave of a man named Philemon. There's another book. It's a letter written by Paul at this same time that was sent with Onesimus to give to Philemon. And I imagine that, you know, Philemon was actually a slave who ran for his freedom. He escaped slavery and he went to Rome. I would guess to fade into the woodwork there. Somehow he came in contact with Paul. It would seem that Paul led him to the Lord and got to know him and discipled him and built him up. And now he's encouraging Onesimus to go back to Philemon, to go back, and he's carrying this letter where Paul says, Philemon, set Onesimus free. Onesimus is useful in God's kingdom. He has become a brother. You need to set him free. Slavery is wrong. You need to release him. But I just imagine Onesimus felt this fear and trepidation as he was going to go back into this situation, not knowing what Philemon was going to do, hoping that Philemon would take to heart Paul's letter, but not knowing what's going to happen. And I think Tychicus was there alongside him to just listen, to care, to minister, to encourage, and to just be there with him on this difficult, difficult journey. It's hard to imagine what that would have been like, but it's great when we have a faithful minister alongside us. I'm also reminded of these teams that came with Glenn to serve with us. And like Tychicus, they really came to serve and to love the people. Some of the things that these teams did also remind me of Tychicus as a faithful minister or a faithful servant. They did very simple activities, but very meaningful things. They painted the room in a daycare that we have operating in this small village. They brought toys and just played with the kids. They encouraged our local missionary there and just listened to his life and his challenges and his stories and just sought to encourage him. We visited local homes together and just sat and listened to people. They were not understanding a lot of what was going on, but they were praying in the background and just being present to these folks. We went to other places and painted a few other churches, and the teams visited a poor family connected to one of these churches in their home and heard about how hard their lives are. And they actually ended up buying this little push cart for the husband and this family to buy goods and to go into his community and sell them on this push cart. And it was such an encouragement to this family. It was so beautiful to see that kind of ministry. And then we went to some places where the big earthquake had an impact, 2015 earthquake. Actually, there were two earthquakes, both above 7.0, that tumbled a lot of buildings. The team helped remove, they took out all the bricks and the wood, and they stacked them up in another place so that they could be reused. And then the last thing that they did, which I think was a very humble thing, at the church that Glenn mentioned where we slept, and there was the small earthquake, they actually dug out the pit for the toilet for that church. So they served in just very humble and practical ways. And again, that's just a beautiful thing. When you see faithful servants, faithful ministry, it is encouraging to the heart. And those folks came from here, this place. And you know, that I know that you are faithful servants of the Lord. I know that you have a heart for faithful ministry. And so I want to say thank you to all of you for your faithful service. And I know that you sent them, some of you went, and it's your faithfulness that makes such a difference. So Tychicus was a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and then finally, he was a fellow servant. And actually, the word here, the way these are translated, I've used the ESV. I think if you look back to a New American Standard, you'll find some things that are maybe a little bit more accurate. This passage probably should be translated beloved brother, faithful servant, and then this last one should be fellow slave. The word here is doulos, which really is best translated slave. It's what it means. But I think our more modern translations, because just the word slave, it's repugnant to us. It's a difficult word. And so servant comes across a little bit easier. And so that's often what is was translated. Sometimes bond servant you might see here as well. But Paul describes Tychicus as a fellow slave, a fellow slave. And I think both of those words are meaningful. I think fellow communicates a lot as well. It kind of communicates that they were fellows together, in the same fellowship, the same focus, the same purpose, and certainly the same position before their master, Jesus Christ. They had a like mind. I think of Philippians chapter 2 relates to this, where Paul said, be of the same mind, intent, the same purpose, one in spirit. Those things communicate this idea. I think of Paul describing Tychicus as his fellow slave. They were just on the same page together. And then the term slave. Again, you know, it's a difficult word. It is so so loaded. It is repugnant. It makes us, I think, as Americans, think back to that part of our national history that we don't look back on with, we feel shame about that, and we should. It's a shameful thing in our history that occurred in our nation. And yet, God is a God who understands slavery in some really unique ways that we may not think of. I mean, we might think of the Israelites being freed from slavery, from God's heart to bring them out of slavery, to release them from that burden. But I also think of Jesus. You know, Philippians 2 goes on to say that Jesus Christ humbled himself and was made man, and he took on the form of a servant. And actually, that word is the same word here. It's doulos. He took on the form of a slave. He made himself a slave to us in order to pay our sins, in order to reconcile us to himself. That is what he is about. And so he knows slavery firsthand. He experienced it on a scale that I don't think we can imagine. We think, well, maybe it was just a short time. Well, it may have been a short time, but it was for the entire population of human beings throughout all time. It is an intensity which I don't think we can quite understand. And yet Paul identified himself as a slave of Jesus Christ. He identified Tychicus as a slave of Jesus Christ, and I'm sure Tychicus would also have identified himself in that way. I think there's a couple things here that to me are surprising beyond just the fact that they would use that word. They're almost ironic. The first of those is that Tychicus, who was a free man, is actually traveling with Onesimus, who was a literal slave in that context, which is obviously a ministry in and of itself, as he goes with him as Onesimus returns himself to Philemon, with Paul's letter saying, please release him from slavery. But Paul refers to Tychicus as this fellow slave. They saw themselves as slaves, but they did not refer to Onesimus that way. It's an amazing juxtaposition or paradox. They actually describe, if you remember back to when I read the passage, Paul describes Onesimus as a faithful and beloved brother. He doesn't use the word fellow slave. He doesn't even use the word servant. He leaves those concepts out entirely because I think Paul is all about freedom. Jesus is all about freedom. Jesus died to set the captives free. And I think Paul's heart and Jesus's heart, obviously, are about Onesimus's freedom. They want him to not see himself as a slave of another human being, because that is wrong. They want him to know that he is free, and that they're calling for his freedom, and that his freedom is important to him. And yet, at the same time, they call themselves slaves. What a crazy juxtaposition that is. We're slaves, and you're the free one. I just imagine how that might have made Onesimus feel, to hear Tychicus say, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. You know what? You're a free man. He must have felt honored and cared for, and like freedom was a reality to them. There's another thing that strikes me as ironic and surprising in this too, and that's that Paul had written previously in the book of Galatians that it was for freedom that Christ set us free, and that we should not go back to a yoke of slavery. And yet Paul introduces himself in the book of Philippians, Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ. He calls Tychicus a slave, a fellow slave. Paul has made himself a slave. He has chosen to be that. And I think he's talking about it. These two passages are really talking about a different kind of slavery, because one slavery here, the slavery talked about in Galatians 5, where Paul says it's for freedom that Christ set us free and that we shouldn't return to a yoke of slavery, is really about slavery to sin, slavery to the law, slavery to legalism, slavery to sin and death, the outcome of our sin. And Paul wants to free all of us from that. Jesus died to free all of us from that. That is what the gospel is all about, to be free. And I think Paul recognizes that when he says he is a slave to Jesus Christ, that he is subjecting himself to the one who sets him free. He is saying, I recognize, Jesus, that you are my creator, you are my maker, you want me to be free, and so I am all yours. You own me fully and completely because you made me. You created me. You designed me for a purpose. And so I would just say that our greatest freedom, we experience our greatest freedom when we actually make ourselves, when we choose to be slaves of Jesus Christ. Well, I have to say that again. We actually experience our greatest freedom when we choose, when we make ourselves slaves to Jesus Christ. I was thinking about the songs that we sang this morning. So many of them have statements of, you know, I lift up my hands and I lay down my life before you. I give you my everything. That's what it means to make yourself a slave of Jesus Christ. We're singing those words powerfully, saying we want to be that. It's just hard because that word is such a yucky word to us because it has so many ugly things tied to it. And it is, but and I'm sure it did to Paul and Tychicus. I mean, they understood the ugliness of slavery as well. But I think they saw something unique and different when they said, we just want to be yours. We want to follow you with all that we are. And I think they recognized that giving themselves fully and completely to the one who loved them was the most important thing that they could do, to the one who loved them more than anyone else could ever love them. And so they gave themselves fully and completely to the one who would care for them beyond what anybody else could care for them. They gave themselves fully and completely to the one who would encourage their hearts and strengthen their souls beyond anything anybody else could ever do. The one who would put them on good paths, paths of righteousness. The one that would lead them to goodness. And I think this is, this is what true freedom is. It's getting on the path of goodness and beauty and all that is right and true, being subject to a sovereign God, a God who's already sovereign. And the reality is, he doesn't need us to say, I make myself a slave to you. He already owns every single one of us, whether we know it or not. He made us. He's our creator. He's the one who put this world in motion. That's just reality. And so when we say willingly, I recognize you, we're just saying, you're Lord, you're God, you're my King. And in that, there is great freedom. We can just rest in that, knowing that he is with us, that he cares for us, that he will never leave us or forsake us. And that's what Jesus modeled for us as well. When he made himself a slave and sacrificed himself on a cross for our sins so that we might have eternal life with him and might be members of his family. He gives us the complete freedom. He gives all of us the complete freedom to choose him or not. And when we choose him, we find real freedom. So Tychicus, like Paul, was a fellow slave of Christ Jesus, which means he went where he was sent, he went where he was called, he went where he was needed, he did whatever it was that Jesus asked him to do. And so when we make ourselves slaves to Christ, that's kind of what we're putting ourselves down for. I'm going to go, Jesus, where you call me. I'm going to do what you ask me to do. I'm going to serve where I'm needed. I'm making myself available. Use me for your will. You know, the life of Onesimus and Philemon actually don't end with the biblical account. Since we've looked at them a little bit, I want to just go in. There's a church tradition actually tells us a little bit more about them. It's tradition, so we don't know for sure the factuality of this, but I think there's good reason to believe it. It makes a lot of sense. According to church tradition, Onesimus was actually set free by Paul. By Philemon. That Philemon read Paul's letter and responded to it and said, Onesimus, you are released. And I think in that, actually, Philemon got his freedom too. Not only did Onesimus go free, but I think Philemon was freed up from the bondage of being a slaveholder. I can't think of anything that would be more awful than that. To think that's what I did, to be freed from that would be very powerful. Tradition also says that Onesimus went on to become the bishop of the church of Ephesus. Isn't that amazing? Paul said he is a faithful and beloved brother. And Paul said he's useful to me. He's useful for God's kingdom. And Onesimus proved that out. Philemon actually went on to be the bishop of Colossae, these two churches that were nearby to each other. And the harder part is that both men actually then, according to tradition, laid down their lives for their faith. They were both apparently martyred under the reign of Nero, the emperor of Rome. But if this is true, the slave owner and the slave both laid down their positions, their titles, and became beloved brothers, faithful ministers, and fellow slaves of Jesus Christ, serving together, leading together, and ultimately dying together. They both gained their freedom. One, a freedom from slavery, and another, a freedom from being a slaveholder. And both of them, freedom from slavery to sin and death. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death." And when I look out at this room, I see a bunch of faithful brothers and faithful sisters. I see beloved brothers and beloved sisters, rather, and faithful ministers, and I see fellow servants of the Lord. And I'm thankful for all of you. And I just want to say, you are my beloved brothers and my beloved sisters. I love you in the Lord, and I'm so thankful to be connected with this body of believers here in Winter Park. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you that you have set us free, free from sin and death, and you have given us life. And so, Lord, we do call one another beloved sister or beloved brother. We call one another, we recognize one another as faithful ministers, and we submit ourselves fully and completely to you as fellow slaves or fellow servants. Maybe it's easier to use that word due to some of the things in the past of our nation, but we recognize that we are fully and completely submitted to you because you are our God, our Creator, the one who is with us moment by moment, who loves us beyond what we can imagine, and you set the captives free. So we thank you, and I just pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Gil. How many of you want to go? Do you want to be sent out? Have you been sent out? Are we all sent out? Think about this, the lines of this song. If it is bandaging the broken or washing filthy feet, you have to be a brother to do that. You have to be a faithful minister to do that. And then it says in the other line, it says, if it is loving one another, even when you don't agree. I think that's fellow servant right there. Lord, I will go wherever you send me, even if you send me with blank, right? Sometimes we don't go out where we want to go or with people that we feel they're there at all. But we have to work together for the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Gil, for sharing this. The word of God is speaking to us, whether it is to India or right here to Sunday school on Sunday morning, which, by the way, we need help with. We need to be beloved brothers, fellow ministers, and fellow servants in order to do this. So we're going to pray the Lord for Gil and for Glenn and for everything that is going on. And remember, don't go away. We have plenty of food here today, okay? We're going to eat and have lunch together, just fellowship and enjoy our time here. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We worship you. We give you praise, Lord, for your grace and your love. And Lord, for this message, speak to us, Lord. There are so many needs in the school, Lord, teaching or in Sunday school, Lord, in life groups, Lord, doing the work that you have called us to. Lord, allow us to stand up and do what is right. in order for us to be faithful ministers of the gospel. And Lord, we pray for this food. Would you bless it and let it be a blessing to our bodies? Bless our time together, Lord. Thank you for those that have worked and prepared this food, Lord. Thank you for your provision to us as a church. And Lord, thank you for giving us opportunities and times like this to be together with one another in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. We are dismissed to the fellowship hall. Thank you, Melissa and worship team.
Talent.